Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Pettum here, as always. And of course, we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a 2-1 victory on Sunday. We're a few days late. We'll address that in a second. But on Sunday against Brighton and Hove Albion, Villa are now in Europe. I've never experienced this in my life as being a Villa fan. Neither basically has Seb to basically some extent that he can probably remember, which makes me and Simon feel very, very old. But regardless of that, we're all chipper. We're all happy. It's just an amazing time to be a Villa fan at this point in history. So we'll have to kind of just take it all in as it comes and go from there. But regardless, of course, I am joined by Mr. Seb Bacon and Simon O'Regan as well. So Simon, I'll come to you first. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Still feeling a little delicate from the weekend. I was at a wedding on Saturday and then at the Villa Sunday. And so, 2 days of drinking, I'm a man of a few advanced years now, Cole. I don't have the powers of recovery that I once used to have. So it's worth it though, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, you'll be recovered by next Saturday, I'm sure, hopefully. I know in advanced years, it's definitely something that takes a good while. But of course, from one experienced head to a very young head that pressured Simon into drinking post-match, that being Seb. Seb, how's it going for you?
I wouldn't change it for the world. You know you're in a good mood when you call me Seb, because I don't think I've ever heard you call me Seb before. And just so that the listeners are aware, this podcast was actually meant to be recorded yesterday, but me and Simon both ended up pulling out of that one due to certain events happening the day before. So take of that what you will.
All I can say is if you follow us on the 7500 Holt Twitter, or if you follow Seb or Simon personally or myself, I think we've all been tagged in it or have shared it or whatever. I have to know, Seb, what does the top of Simon's head smell like?
What a question. I wasn't sober enough to remember, unfortunately. All I know is that one of the best kisses I've had.
to the top of his head.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Just to save you, I have to keep that in. Oh my god.
Basically, you can use this as like an advertising tool, because you can use it to market the Twitter so that people can go and get the context.
Fair enough, but you basically just made it sound like you lipsed Simon. But anyways. Regardless of that, what a way to kick off the whole cast. I don't know if I've ever had an opening few minutes quite like this, but regardless, we'll try to push through. Like I said before, of course, it was Aston Villa 2, Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Dougie Luiz and Ollie Watkins getting on the scoreboard for the Villa. Jacob Ramsey just keeps on keeping on, getting better by better every single game. 2 assists to put Villa into the Europa Conference League playoff places. We all have to be mindful of that and maybe not get too carried away, because we know how things can be when we are Villa fans. But we'll address the playoff situations and how that'll work in another podcast going forward, of course. And of course, for Brighton, it was Undav. I think that's how you pronounce it, that scored. And Pascal Gross, of course, got the assist on that one. But regardless of it, like I said, Villa are in Europe. It's brilliant. They finished the season in 7th place on 61 points. And Seb, I'll just say this to you now. Please look up the last time Villa finished with 61 points or more, because it's been a freaking long time and I've never seen it. It's amazing to see when you look at the table. I'm just looking at it now, of course. Spurs finished 1 point below us. Crazy enough, Brentford actually beat City. So if we would have lost and Spurs didn't get something against Leeds, then Brentford would have came all the way from 9th to 7th. Brighton, of course, didn't really have too much to play for. They already were locked in 6th place. And yeah, it's just mental to see when you look at the likes of course, Villa, Brighton, Newcastle, all within the top seven. Some old new blood, I guess you can say, and in terms of Brighton, some new blood, because it's the first time in their history that they've ever qualified for a European competition. So happy days, happier moments. And yeah, it's just, it's mental. I don't think it's still sinking in. Of course, everyone's going to hear this on the Wednesday. And like I said, I do apologize that this is late, but nonetheless, we're here. We took a few more days for the other guys to recover and to make sense of things. So let's just dive into it. Seb, I'll come to you first. I mean, in terms of how performances and what kind of reaction you want your side to come out from minute one, I mean, it was one hell of a performance. And the pressing from minute one, it was just, it was almost like a perfect storm on Sunday, wasn't it?
First of all, the answer to your question is 2009-10, our final season under Martin O'Neill. We got 64 points. But to go back to your most recent question, yeah, it sort of felt like a fairy tale living it in the moment. Just everything seemed to fall into place so well. A lot had been made of our fast starts at Villa Park under Unai Emery, and that came to fruition again. We really started strong, and I think we hit Brighton quite hard, especially getting the first goal within 10 minutes, and that allowed us to dictate the tempo then. You know, the first half was good. We obviously had the Brighton disallowed goal, which allowed us to sort of breathe a sigh of relief when that happened. And then we went 2-0 up, and it was just about right game management now. That clearly it had been worked on what happens when you get a lead, even then doubling that lead to make it 2-0. And we managed to stick to that until they got one back. I don't actually think that the foul that they scored from was a foul. I think if I remember correctly, it was Tyrone Mings that gave the foul away. And I still to this day think he got the ball. So look, I'm sure we'll come on to the refs slightly later. I'm sure Simon has a lot to say about that. But yeah, living it in the moment was sort of a surreal, it felt like an out of body experience.
100%. And I mean, Simon, even going into that game, I guess if there's a way to even describe it in enough words, because I feel like going into Villa Park, not being there myself, but I can only imagine on a day like Sunday with so much at stake, all the atmosphere outside, everyone's seen the videos of the coach rocking up to the players' entrance. And I mean, it just, for one, it gives you that sense of what a European night could really be like back at Villa Park. But try to describe for us just the atmosphere kind of going into that one and throughout the game, if possible.
I mean, it's really hard to describe it if you weren't there. It was an incredible atmosphere. Like, there was, I think because we've obviously been playing so well in recent months, I personally, like myself, I went into the game like fairly confident that we'd do the job. And I got the sense that most people were as well, not like a complacent feeling of, you know, we'll turn up and turn these over, because Brighton are a really good team. They showed on Sunday that they're a really good team. But just, I always, there's a feeling with this Villa team now that you feel they're going to get the job done. You know, it's been a long time since we've had that, like going to Villa Park with like a genuine sense that you're going to win that game. Yeah, the atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, you sort of mentioning what it could be like, you know, as a reminder of like European nights at Villa Park, what the atmosphere could be there. The first year that I had the season ticket, so going back to 1997, 98, that season we got to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup. We went out to Atletico Madrid on away goals rule in the end. The second leg was at Villa Park. But I still remember like the atmosphere in the ground that stand. You know, anyone listening to this who was there will know exactly what I mean. The noise when Stan Collymore's goal hit the roof of the net. I hadn't heard an atmosphere like that up until this season, with starting with the Newcastle game, really. I think that's that Newcastle game, they seem like something switched in the mindset of the fans. That's not even like because we won the game, because before that, you know, at the start of the Newcastle game, everyone was right up for it and the atmosphere was incredible. And ever since then, it's been like that. You know, the Tottenham game the other week, it was an amazing atmosphere. And then, you know, like we've sort of already gone over on Sunday, it was just unbelievable. And you kind of, yeah, you think if that's what it's like on a Sunday afternoon, just think what it would be like a full Villa Park on European night. So it's amazing. And, you know, Project B6, a lot of credit I think needs to go to them for sort of getting this, sort of starting off, the, you know, getting the ball rolling, with getting the atmosphere improved in the park. And I think, as well, now everyone, like, is, and I mean absolutely everyone, is just totally bought into what Unai Emery is doing. And I think everyone knows what the plan is. Everyone can see what's happening. The quality of football we're playing, it just all adds to it. And it's, this is the first time in a long time that I'm kind of like gutted that the season's ending. Normally it comes to the end of the season and I'm like, oh, thank God for that. Like, you're a couple of months off, but I just, yeah, I can't wait to get back to Villa Park. It's ridiculous.
I wish we could somehow have the Premier League just let us play the first number of games that Gerrard was in charge and just let them do as a do-over. We'd probably finish in the Champions League, to be honest, because Jesus Christ. All I can say is, Stevie G, thank you for being utterly shit, because this is where we are now because of it. It's crazy almost as a Villa fan to go off on a tangent here when you look at it. I mean, not getting promoted under Steve Bruce, almost feeling like the club's going to go into administration because shit ownership, sketchy ownership to say the least, not working out. Then we get promoted out of nothing. It's, I don't know how to describe Villa of the last 6 or so years. The fact that we go from literally one extreme of not getting there to the next of being promoted to almost being relegated to finishing 10th to having an underwhelming season to being in 7th. I mean, Seb, you'd have to say it's just the widest range of emotions you can really have as a football fan, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Talk about roller coaster. I mean, it's just a complete contrast, the first half to the second half. And I think it speaks a lot that the biggest cheer of the afternoon on Sunday was when Unai Emery made his way round the Holt End. I've never, ever seen so many people stay for a lap of honour in my life, but it just sort of, you could sense the unity amongst the fans, amongst the players. I think the players recognised the job that they'd done, and the fans just wanted to show their appreciation for that. I think everyone recognises that it had been a long, difficult season mentally, physically. We could see the players had given their all, and this was our chance to almost show our appreciation for that. It was a really nice feeling.
Oh, 100%. And Simon, I mean, let's talk about kind of like the mentality, especially like we're not professional footballers by any means. I mean, Seb is going to be playing in a charity football match very soon where he might think he is, or pretend in his head when he's hopefully skinning a few players and putting it into the goals at the Molyneux at both ends. Hopefully, Seb, hopefully you score in both halves if there's halves on that. I honestly don't know and feel like I should actually know more information on that. But regardless of it, Simon, I mean, how many times have we seen Villa crumble under pressure throughout the years? And especially when you think of going into this game, and albeit it's in our hands, and, you know, at the turnaround under Unai Emery has been amazing. So almost in a way, maybe it puts off the pressure a bit. But I mean, how did you kind of feel with your own mentality going into this game? And then how do you think you kind of would evaluate the players with that? Because, I mean, watching the game back myself, I never really felt like we were going to crumble at any point or we couldn't really handle the day. It was, I don't know, it's almost something we've talked about this before under times under Dean Smith and even under Gerrard maybe once or twice as of the last few years. But this one just kind of felt differently, did it?
Yeah. I mean, sort of like I said earlier, I went into the game confident because this is a different Villa. I think one of the big things in terms of mentality, which really showed a difference, I think we mentioned it when we did the pod for the game afterwards, was that Tottenham game. You know, when they got their penalty back and there was like 5 or 6 minutes of injury time, I think, added on in that game. And it would have been so easy and to an extent understandable if the players had just, you know, if we dropped back to like a back six, you know, like a 6-4 formation and just sat deep on the edge of the box and just tried to see the game out like that. But we didn't. In that game, we kept playing the same way. We kept playing it out from the back. There was no panic and hoofing it long. And they kept the high line. And I think they caught Sun offside again, like for the 9th time in that game. with their high line, and I think the mentality to have done that then shows the level and the confidence that the players are working at, because I don't think it's something that should be underestimated, the job that Emery has done in terms of that mentality, because they've always been a good group of talented footballers. But you look at hopefully this will be the last time we decide to mention Steven Gerrard in the podcast. But you go back to how we were under him at the start of the season, and it was just such, you know, the players, you didn't really know what they were meant to be doing. But you could also, you thought that they were weak and that there was no, what's the word? There's no like sort of independent thought from them on the pitch or anything like that. It was almost like, because they hadn't been told what they were meant to be doing, there was no coaching. It was almost you could look at them and think, you know, there's players here who just don't have the mentality for this. But you look at the run of form that we've had to put together to get to where we are is unbelievable. And you can't just do that with being a talented group of players. You look at that Leicester squad, that is a talented group of players, but they've got relegated. And I think a big part of that is a weak mentality. And that's not just in terms of the players. That comes from the owners, the manager, the coaching staff. That's at this elite level. In the Premier League, you've got to be a very good, very, very good footballer to be playing Premier League in terms of like technical ability and, you know, stuff like that. But the difference between being a what we would call like a poor and average Premier League player and an elite one is the mentality. And you look at like John McGinn, the performances under him since Emery's come in. You look at how Douglas Luiz has improved this season. You know, he's always had that technical ability, but this is the mental side of the game and the understanding that he's improved on. Tyrone Mings as well has been absolutely phenomenal in this second half of the season. I actually thought he was one of the few players that was actually playing well under Gerrard as well. And I don't think he gets anywhere near the credit that he deserves. I think Villa fans now, I think hopefully most of them have all turned around to our way of thinking, how we've always thought about Mings. But I don't think in terms of the wider football fan base, I think people still will see one mistake he'll make all season, and then that's apparently what he does every game. I think he's probably second to John Stones in terms of the best English centre-backs playing in the Premier League. I think Tyrone Mings is absolutely superb, and it all comes down to the manager that we've got, because he's got such an elite winner's mentality. It's rubbed off on the players, and I'm really looking forward to seeing not just what will happen in terms of people that he'll get in, because obviously he's going to want to get in quality players, but I still think there's levels of improvements with some of the people we've already got, especially you look at the likes of Luiz, Kamara and Ramsey, who are all still pretty young players. They can all get better, and it's just really, really positive vibes at the moment.
Do you think Mings is better than Dunk? I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I personally do, yeah. I think Lewis Dunk is a decent player, but I think the way that I think other fans talk about Mings in terms of, oh, he's got a mistake in him, I think that's more appropriate. I think Lewis Dunk makes more mistakes over the course of the season than Tyrone Mings does, but for some reason, Mings seems to get picked out. And maybe that's because I think he's an outspoken character as well, which I don't think some people like, but I really do.
Do you think Mings is better than Connor Cody? Because some Wolves fans probably still think he is.
Yes, I do.
I was hoping that joke would land, and it kind of did, but kind of didn't. So when everyone is looking at me like, are you stupid? I'll take that as a fail.
Look, I mean, people will probably think that is a ridiculous shout. But like genuinely, if you look
I completely agree. I completely agree. The only reason I asked Dunk is because I've always rated Dunk, and I've almost seen them in the same light where they both get overlooked, especially for the national team, so much that they almost both should be recognized higher than they are. But no, I completely agree with your statement.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, that's just how I think Lewis Dunk is a really good player, and like. In terms of like England stuff, like John Stones is is like, but I think far and away the best thing is that, like, he's superb. But after that, like, over the years, how Dyer and Maguire have got the game time they've had of Mings and Duncan is ridiculous. But, you know, that's a separate conversation for another podcast, I think.
Absolutely. And Seb, I'll throw this back to you. I mean, I think we've talked about this certain individual a lot lately. I know Simon has, and he's defended him as much as possible because it's ridiculous that he's really gotten any scrutiny. But Jacob Ramsey, I mean, how clutch he has been in not only this season, this run-in, but when it matters the most. I mean, what did you make of his performance on Sunday? And I mean, just in general lately, he's going from one strength to another, playing a little bit out of position. And it seems like he's just adapted to playing it wide even more so than I thought he ever would. I mean, just what are your thoughts on him?
The sky's the limit for that boy. And to think that we've got, hopefully, another one coming through the ranks quite soon. Just
another two.
Another two. One quite shortly, and then one in the future is just beggars belief, really. He is the driving force behind this team, and he is one of the players that I would build this team around now. I really do look at him in the same ilk as when Grealish was breaking through. I think he can be just as influential, if not more. I do. You're giving me weird faces there, but I think his all round game is nearly on par with Grealish when Grealish was his age. I mean, Jacob Ramsey's doing it in the Premier League week in, week out, and he is going from strength to strength under Emery at the moment. He's adding goals and assists. I remember one of the criticisms was Grealish was, yeah, he's really important to the team, but he doesn't get enough goals and assists. Ramsey's doing that already, and he's still got miles of improving to do. So I can't wait to watch his growth, hopefully in a Villa shirt. I feel like we've been in this position too many times before, and I've been broken too many times before, but you can't help but get your hopes up when you watch that kid. How he's not in the England team is beyond me, but I don't mind that. The longer he goes under the radar, then the longer we can keep him to ourselves, and he can keep pushing Villa further and further.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you are right. I mean, in terms of where he is at this age compared to Grealish, yes, he is better. I think I maybe misconstrued that and was thinking you're saying he's better right now. I mean, he has a way to go, but I mean, it's mental when you think about it, because, like, I felt like when I first kind of fell into the Villa fandom, we were kind of going crazy over, like, Samir Carruthers and X number of other players that we thought would be amazing, and 99.9% of them just didn't cut it. Half them didn't really end up going too far at all in terms of being professional footballers, which is unfortunate. But aside from that, I mean, of course, we all know the story with Grealish, and now you have Ramsey, and then you have Aaron Ramsey, and you still have Big Tim. I mean, the list goes on and on. Cam Archer as well. There's so much optimism with the youthful kind of point of view from within Villa. But then you also look at the experienced heads who's been here for a few years. I mean, Simon, you look at Tyrone Mings, you look at John McGinn. These are players we had in the Championship, and now they're going to be playing in European football. I mean, speak about that for a minute, because it's mental. I think there's been points that everyone's kind of thought, you know what, will these players be good enough to make that step? But I mean, they've grown with the club, they've taken the criticism, and you know what, under the correct leadership and coaching, it's only made them better.
Yeah, I think it's really testament to not only their abilities, like, as a footballer, but as we sort of touched on earlier, the sort of mental ability and mental strength of the two of them. Because, I mean, to sort of rise from the level of the Championship and get to a level now where you're going to be playing in Europe, it's not an easy task. And they've both had quite a bit of criticism, quite a lot of it undeserved and over the top, I think, at times as well. And it takes a lot to sort of get through that, I think. But then, having said that, in terms of, like, yeah, obviously they've sort of come from the Championship and now they've been playing European football. But you've got to remember as well, these are two players that have played at an international tournament before as well. They were both in the Euro squads for England and Scotland. So it's kind of not, I don't think it should be that surprising because they've both shown that they're capable of playing at that level. McGinn has played a hell of a lot of times for Scotland, and Mings, I think, has got about 18, 19, 20 odd England caps. So they've both shown that they're capable of playing at that level. But it's testament to the two of them that they've sort of been with us all that way through and come through that last championship season with us and have been mainstays in the team. And, that just shows that that's what now three different managers that they've had, and all of them have picked them for the majority of games. And obviously, Mings was ridiculously dropped for the opening day of the season against Bournemouth, which seems like a million years ago now. It almost doesn't feel like it's the same season that we had that game. My voice went there. So they've done really well, and as I say, it's a testament to their sort of mental strength as well as their abilities as footballers. And just sort of touching back on when you were talking about like the academy as well, I think we had such a long period as well where the club just had no interest in the academy. So people like Samir Carruthers or Callum O'Hare, not saying that they could necessarily have gone on and had like successful Premier League careers, but if you're in the ages sort of like 17, 18, 19, if you're not involved in like the first team at your Premier League club, you have to be sent out on loan. And none of these players were. There's a lot of players in that who I feel the club let down, if I'm being brutally honest. I think their potential was wasted. You'll never know what some of them could have done. But we up until the new owners came in, there was a period of at least 10, if not 15 years, where there was just no care given to that academy. And so it's good to see that that now has been, that does seem to be the case now. We're putting the people out on loan at the right age for them to put out on loan. So then come the end of a loan spell, at the end of each season, you've got two options. They're either going to be good enough that you can keep them around and involve them in their squads, or you'll see, okay, they're not quite ready for us, but we know we're going to get some money off them because we can see what they can do at this certain level. So that's, I think, been a massive change in what we've done as a club as well, which I think is something that the owners should get huge praise for.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The one thing I will say, and this has nothing to do with this, but I'm almost glad Coventry didn't get promoted, because if Callum O'Hara was starting in the Premier League, you'd have like 2% of the fan base being like, why did we let him go? All that kind of stuff. Oh, look, he's a Premier League player. So it works in mysterious ways. But I guess also in the same kind of mindset, congratulations to Big Marv Nakamba, of course, for getting Luton promoted to the Premier League. So I guess it comes in both ways. We'll have to discuss maybe his future in a future podcast. But to see Big Marv tuck away a penalty so convincingly, it made me think of prime, Anwar El Ghazi against Wolves, or X number, YZ, whatever, from the penalty spot, just cool as he liked. Didn't know he had it in him, but it's good to see. Maybe they'll add another 3 mil to the transfer price going forward. But Seb, I'll come to you for a minute, because this is one man that hopefully this is the time that we finally never speak about Steven Gerrard again. But Gerrard decided that he wasn't basically good enough to start the first few games for Villa, and that was Dougie Luiz, the player's player and basically everyone's player of the season. I guess we'll have to maybe leave that as a little bit of a sneak peek for all of us in the end of season review we'll do within hopefully a week or so. But I mean, just speak to us about him on Sunday, his season, the partnership with Kamara. I mean, like we've said before, we've been linked with Guendouzi and adding another addition that maybe would replace one of them in the starting lineup. But to me, we arguably have one of the best two defensive duo midfield duos in the whole Premier League.
You look at our bench, and Simon mentioned it, Bournemouth away. I was actually there that day. You mentioned our bench consisting of Douglas Luiz, Tyrone Mings and Ollie Watkins, arguably the core which has driven us forward. But I feel like Douglas Luiz has grown throughout the season, not just as a player, but as a man as well. I feel like I've watched him make the step up and take responsibility and really see what it means to him to be successful in this team. We could have let him go quite easily in past windows with Arsenal swooping. And, you know, there's a good player in there when teams like Arsenal are interested. You know, you don't be on Man City's books under Pep Guardiola if you're not a very, very good player. And finally, I think we're starting to see that player that we bought all those years ago. It took some time, but as a young player, you know, we forget that you mentioned Callum O'Hare. He's the same age as Douglas Luiz. People forget that. So when we brought him in, he was just a young lad. And, you know, like I said, watching him grow over the past few years, he's another one where I don't think he's anywhere near the full package yet. And being able to offer him more game time as well as more rest, obviously, as we get more games, can only be a good thing for him and the team moving forward. And he's another one that I'm really excited to see the potential ceiling of him. Again, I feel like I'm deja vu here with Jacob Ramsey, but he's added goals and assists to his game, which is something that we'd been really critical of him in recent years. So if he can keep this form moving forward into next season, I believe that him and Kamara are completely undroppable.
No, I 100% agree. Oh, sorry, Simon.
I was going to say, what I really loved Luiz on Sunday, I don't know if you saw it, Seb, the Brighton goal that was disallowed when we were waiting for the decision.
He gave the whole 10 the news.
Yeah, like, and he'd obviously, Dougie stood next to the ref, and the ref said to him beforehand, yeah, it's been disallowed, and he turned to the whole end, and he was giving it the fist bumps and, like, screaming in delight at the whole end, and, like, I love that. It's like, you can see
that's
what it means.
That's what you want to see as a fan. That's yeah, all you ask for is passion as a yeah, fan. That's all you can hope for.
But stuff like that, that's like a genuine reaction as well. That's not something for show. That's you can, as I say, you can just see what it means to these players and how much it meant to them on Sunday. And yes, stuff like that. And as you say with Dougie, so easily the club could have caved last transfer window for. He's got a year left on his deal. There's a money offer coming in. They could have panicked and then got rid of him, but to not only keep hold of him, but somehow get him to sign a new deal whilst Gerrard was still in charge was unbelievable. I mean, part of me wonders if someone in the hierarchy at the club had said to him, look, don't worry, we're getting rid of him soon, but we want to keep you on board, because he could have, and he as well, with that Arsenal potential move, you know, he could have quite easily thrown his toys out of the pram. You've seen it before. Obviously Arsenal are a better place club than us at, certainly at the moment. So he could have thought, hang on a minute, like, this is a move that I would have quite fancied. And he hadn't started the season either. You know, he'd been on the bench for the first couple of games. So he may well have thought, I can't read what that says, so you're going to have to read that all later. But he could have well have thought, you know, I'm not starting and now you're not letting me go. What's going on? But, you know, fair, as I said, so the level his game's gone to this season, You're looking at an all-round midfielder now, and he I agree with Seb. I think he'll only get better, and the relationship with Kamara is amazing. And just on the point of whatever, you know, links with Guendouzi and whatever, again, I think, you know, we've said this before, now, especially that we're in Europe, it's not a case of signing someone to replace someone who's in the first team. It's you need that. We're going to need a squad of players where the bench is just as good as whoever's in that starting 11, because you know for a fact that, assuming we get through the playoffs, you know that we're going to take this competition seriously. You know, we're going to be going in it to win it. And also the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, we are going to be going into those tournaments with the intention of trying to win them. So we're going to need that bigger squad. So any players that come in this summer, I'm not looking at anyone coming in going, oh, why have we signed him? We've already got so-and-so in that position. What, we're just going to replace him? It's that's just not how football works at that top level. Like, if your club plays in Europe, you don't have a starting 11, and we need to get into that mindset. And I think Emery is a manager who knows that as well. So, yeah, just see what happens with that.
Yeah, and just quickly on Dougie, just kind of for my own opinion, really, when you sit back and you look at it as well, it's kind of crazy. I feel like every kind of close to end of every season since he's been at Villa, it's almost be like, it'll be like, well, will he go back? Will City kind of trigger that buyback clause? Will he go? Will he stay? Of course, we could have, like you said, Simon, so well, we could have caved when Arsenal came in. We could have caved before that. I mean, who knows? He didn't have to sign that contract. I'm sure assurances had to have been made. The money had to be right and all that kind of circumstances as well. But it's so nice to see a player that we bought in the first season back in the Premier League under very tough circumstances through that season, which was just tough for every Villa fan mentally. It was a lot of crap football, let's be honest. And it was a real struggle. And just to see kind of the players and the team and this individual just come through all of that, and he's shining for Villa. He's not, oh, he was half decent for us, we sold him for equal value or 5, 10, whatever, more million, and now he's brilliant for whatever example club. He's here and he's doing it for us, and he clearly wants to be here. And I think that's the biggest thing, because I feel like how many times we've had that one key player, whatever position, and they've just went by the wayside, essentially, because really there's not enough quality or infrastructure or whatever else to really support that. But the one thing I did kind of want to ask to you guys, and I mean, we could bring this up in another podcast, but before we do wrap things up here very shortly, there's no three-word reviews to read out for, well, essentially, listeners, because I was traveling home from a trip. I didn't get to do it, but Seb celebrating. And as I say that, we're going to do three-word reviews for us. So that sucks to be him celebrating in the background. I'll do that in a second. But the first thing I want to know, and Simon, I'll start this with you. If you look at this season, who for you, going into next season, do you think will be the most impactful of the current squad?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because I think there's a few candidates there. I think I'm going to go Emi Martinez. I think he, you know, he's one of, if not the best goalkeeper in the world, and assuming that he's still at the club, which I've got no reason to believe that he won't be, I don't believe that he'll be going anywhere this summer. I think he's someone who is the ultimate elite winner. He's won a World Cup. So I think for what we all want to do this season, I don't know if you saw a little clip of his interview on the pitch after the game where he said, we're going for the Champions League next. Like that. That is an elite winner's mentality. So I think, someone like him, I think is probably going to be the most impactful out of that current squad.
Seb, how about you?
I'm actually going to completely agree with what Simon said. He was the first name that came to mind, because we've been talking about rotation massively and we've been emphasising the importance of it. But I think it's hard to disagree with any big game that we have, he will be playing. So, you know, we will look to him. He's got the experience now of performing at the highest level and winning the highest award that you can win in football. So we will be looking into that experience. Again, I'd like to throw another name out there, slightly different one, but he won't be making impacts on the pitch, but off the pitch in Unai Emery. I believe that having his experience within European competitions will be absolutely critical for us. He's been there, he's done it. You know, he has the awards to show for it in past. So, you know, there is no one I'd rather have leading us into it than Unai, and there is no one that fills me with more confidence.
I can't really say this answer, but if he had one more year left on his deal that we knew about, I would make the argument for Ashley Young. He's been there and done that. Maybe he won't play. Well, he obviously won't play every game, but just that experience, that know-how to have someone in the squad that's done it and done it at the highest level consistently for as long as he's done it. I guess you can make that argument, but because we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'd be shocked if they didn't.
Look, Cole, there's two outcomes with Ashley Young this summer. Either he signs a new deal or we're stupid. There's no real other way to put it.
Yeah, there's what else are you really going to do? You look at who's kind of coming through the system right now. There's no one that can really back up Matty Cash to his degree. And I mean, the fact that he's going to be, 39? I think it is. Ridiculous.
Me and Simon were talking about this, and this is the first time that I've ever quoted me and Simon talking in the pub before, and I'm surprised I can even remember it. But
oh, best friends.
I'm worried about what he's about to say.
if we're light in any positions and the worst case scenario happens, right back, Ashley Young can cover. Left back, Ashley Young can cover. Right mid, left mid, centre mid, he can do a job. Having, you know, on the pitch, there's no one that can fill more positions. And then off the pitch as well, like you said, he's been there, he's done it. He's won all the big awards. And, you know, you can't have just young players in the squad. I know it's a bit of a stark contrast, but we saw it with Southampton. They changed their whole squad. They're all really young. They haven't been there. They haven't done it. And look what happens. You've got to be able to find that blend. And I think Ashley Young fits into that category perfectly.
100%. The one I will go with, and some people may not agree because it's been like this since day one, but I would have to say Tyrone Mings. The reason I say for that, even if he's not a starter or even half the season, which I would be shocked going into next season, because it seems like every time he doesn't play, we are worse off at the back. And that's been proven since he's been literally at the football club going into the promotion push. But the fact that you know that even if he's not starting, he's not going to sit back and sulk. He's going to be professional. He's the ex-captain. He has that leadership on and off the pitch. He's a great ambassador. For me, he's a true professional, and that's what we need. But I feel like he's even more than that. And even if he's the number one, two, three, whatever center back of choice, I just feel like when you sit back and you look at it, he's going to give you his all in whatever role he has to play. And I just feel like that's invaluable. You could say Dougie Louise, you could say Boubacar Kamara, John McGinn, the list goes on and on. But for me, it has to be him. I mean, Emi Martinez would be the obvious one, like you guys said, as well. The guy is mental, and I love him as well. Like, let's be honest, how many just mentally little, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Shit stirrers do we have in this side? And I absolutely love it. Like, Simon, when's the last time we've had this many? You have McGinn that can just drive people nuts. Emmy's nuts as well. It just, I just love it.
I don't think we've ever really had that. I think this is one of the things that I've always felt that we lacked over the years. We've always been too nice, I think, a team to play against. And, you know, it's a side of football that not everyone likes. But when you've got players on your team who are not only good players, proper shithouses as well, and know how to wind up the opposition and but do it and get away with it. Like I saw a stat earlier on today that Emi Buendia made 43 fouls this season and didn't get a single booking, which is the most of any player in any season. Like, even that level, like, Buendia is a shithouse. He's got that mental Argentinian blood in him that makes him such a fiery player. But he is another one that you probably wouldn't necessarily think of as a shout, but he gets in people's faces, he gets stuck into things. And you need to have that. Like all the best teams over the years have that edge to them. You look at the sort of classic Man United teams under Alex Ferguson. They were great players, but they had a bunch of bastards in there as well. Even you look at classic Pep Barcelona. You know, Busquets and Carlos Puyol were little bastards in that team. Even Man City, someone like Fernandinho over the years, or Rodri, again, little bastard, Sergio Aguero. You need to have that element, that edge to you to really succeed at the top level. So it's nice that we've finally got that in our squad. And yeah, the more the merrier.
Absolutely. As long as they're not fighting each other, I really couldn't care less. And everyone knows what I'm referencing there. But regardless of that, I do want to do some three-word reviews on this match. I know we haven't got super into detail on it, but I mean, there's so much to cover. We don't have an incredible amount of time. I'm still pinching myself really what happened on Sunday. So Simon, I'll come to you. Three-word review on Sunday, please.
Mission accomplished, lads.
Fair enough. Seb?
Where's the passport?
I feel like we've said that before. Oh, Mr. Comedian here. I'm going to swear here. I don't know if we've already sworn in this one, so I'm going to have to put the explicit content.
Yes, you have.
There's your passport. Content warning on this one, but I'm going to go with Unai fucking Emery. I think that's a very good way to put it. Or you could put, what was the other one I had? Unai my lord or something like that. I don't know. regardless of that, Seb did mention that we do have a Premier League manager of the season winner, that being Mr. Pep Guardiola. That just kind of came out a few minutes ago, actually, as of recording. I don't want to come off as a bitter podcast, guys, but Simon, I'll come to you first. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know. Like, Man City are expected to win the league. So, don't get me wrong, he's done an unbelievable job. And I think if they go on and win the treble, then you can't necessarily argue with that. But if you're just talking about, like, the managerial job in the Premier League of a specific club, I don't think Man City finishing first is something that's as impressive as the job Emery's done, or the job De Zerbi's done, or Thomas Frank at Brentford, or Gary O'Neill at Bournemouth. I think there have been more impressive managerial performances across a number of Premier League clubs than what Pep Guardiola's done at Man City. When you can buy Erling Haaland, you probably should be winning the league. So yeah, it is what it is.
Seb, I mean, you're the one that mentioned this, so I can only imagine you don't agree with that nomination, but let us know your thoughts.
I actually am not going to say anything about it. I think Simon summed it up really well, so I'm going to leave it there.
Fair enough. All I can really say is, and really to echo what Simon said, is if you have that much money to spend with that squad, you basically have two squads that could easily finish in the top four. All I can say is if he wins multiple things this season, it's justified, I guess, but it's almost like you're giving someone an award to assume that they're going to win everything already. That's how I kind of feel about it. It's not even from, Unai Emery should be the manager of the season. It's like Simon said, you could go with, to be honest, if I was going to go with anybody else, it'd probably be a De Zerbi, or you could even throw, I know Arsenal absolutely cocked it up, but you could say Arteta as well. You could go down the list. It's just, I don't know, it feels like a very lazy nomination without much thought, and they just looked at the top of the table. I don't know if they were trying to put a whole kind of story that Man City had to really fight to get back in the title kind of thing, when, let's be honest, it was Arsenal's to lose, and they more than lost it. So, all in all, it is what it is, but I don't know, that's the Premier League. Sometimes they lack creativity and justifying some of their decisions. But anyways, we're not bitter. We're in seventh. We're all happy. And that's all we can say. So I think we'll leave this edition of the Holtcast at that. Thank you very much to Seb and to Simon for joining me. Of course, you can find Seb on Twitter at SebastianBacon8. You can tweet Simon at Cy O'Regan. Tweet me at TalkAstonVilla. You can tweet the team at 7500 Holt. Email the podcast, Holtcast@gmail.com. And of course, check out the website, www.7500toholt.com. I'm hoping we should around mid next week, I want to say. I don't want to really quote that as a guarantee. We should have the end of season review. It'll probably be a little late one compared to a few other podcasts, Villa related podcasts out there. But we have a bunch of people on our team, five of us, that we need to wrangle all together and get our thoughts. So that'll take some time to schedule that in. But I'll get to all the sappy stuff in the next podcast. But again, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's listened this season, everyone who's listened over a number of seasons. It's always appreciated. The listenership has continued to grow and grow each and every season. This season has been the best numbers wise. Of course, that can definitely be attributed to basically Unai Emery and Villa's brilliance this season and the wild ride. And of course, there's Europe next season, so stay tuned. We'll still be here. We'll still be making content. There'll be more to cover. There'll be more ups and downs, and more, hopefully more ups than downs, I should specify. And yeah, it's just going to be a crazy ride. So why not, you know, leave a positive review, subscribe to us, follow us, whatever it gives you that option to do on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. The journey's just beginning, and yeah, can't wait to see where it ends. So like I said, we'll leave it at that, and don't forget the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.